Greetings all, and welcome to the Real Good Podcast, where every week, every other week, we talk about things going on in the screen and streaming world to find out what's real good. I'm your host, Nick Staniforth, joined by the sharpest scissors and greener, Mr. Sean Carney.
Hi, everybody.
How are you doing, Mr. Crispy?
I am burnt to a crisp.
Does your shirt sting yet?
Like,
have you got the classic tan lines on your arms?
Yeah, no, not on the arms, but back of the neck and usual calves, big white calves, so which are like beetroot red
after
now.
Some
so
treatment,
yeah,
we'll
fun
be
times. Bank holiday's been great. Yeah.
Is that the little
good.
Man's
it's
first trip to the seaside?
Few beers. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was his first time in the water, so can't complain. He was loving life, paddling about.
Was it busy?
Mate, it was so busy. Like, it just seems as if everybody flocked to Mongpot, which is what obviously a lot of people do because they all think the same thing that everybody thinks. Oh, it's going to be quiet. Everybody will just go to an island, and I'm like, no, everybody's going to the island.
There's a bit of sea, and the sun's
out. You might
out.
Never leave.
Yeah. What time did you set off?
Yeah, it was good, man. When was that? About 11, maybe? About 11 o'clock? Whenever I got there till like close to 1. By the time you drive down to Largs, get on the ferry, drive to wherever you're going, the beach, and then park, and then get set up, and yep, good, but it was a good day, man. Totally enjoyed it. Everybody had a good time. It was one of those.
Sean's going to be intermittent in his conversation for the next hour or so, because I can see he's eating a sandwich. So if you hear chomping,
yeah,
it's that, but it looks quite a big sandwich.
Listen, it is a slice and potato scone sandwich. All good. Listen, mate, see when you're a dad.
Oh, here we go.
Yes, mate, literally just put him down. I'm using the dad card again, everyone.
Take a bite. Take a bite, Sean.
No, mate, we were coming back off the ferry, and I just cried the whole way, like, coming up the way for Largs. It was just absolutely exhausted.
Were you that family?
And Liz, I was like, you still have to go to the shop and get food for tonight, and we need to get nappies, and I was just like, I'll drop you guys off, and I'll go and get it done myself, so.
Right. Now we're going to see if Sean chokes the next hour. But we don't know. We don't know.
I'll be fine.
Chances are fine.
I'll be fine.
This is quite a monumental episode. Bit of a gap for Sean because he's moving soon. He looks like he's sleeping in IKEA for the evening. He's surrounded by chairs and photos and shit. He's now gone silent Bob mode because he's just got a mouthful of sarnie. I call it a sandwich. Not a piece, because it just doesn't make any fucking sense that you call it that. It doesn't.
Well, I mean, surely there's got to be things that you call.
What's the thing that we call that you like? I don't understand that.
I don't know.
There you go. Give me
a few suggestions.
One no.
I don't know.
One no.
Because there isn't any.
This is one. Chips, peas, and faggots.
Right. What do you call it?
That is what's that all about?
What do you mean, chips, peas, and faggots? Like, faggots? You mean faggots as a concept, as an actual food?
Yes.
What do you call it?
What is it? Like sausages or something like that?
Let's find out.
What is that? I'm sure it's something along those lines.
Now I'm gonna Google faggots. It might make my search history look questionable, but I'm going to find out. Faggots are meatballs made from minced off cuts and offal, especially pork, traditionally pig's heart, liver, and fatty belly. My lenses are drying up. I can't see shit, Captain. And fatty belly meat or bacon together.
Why don't you just say...
What?
Why don't you just say meatballs, then?
Because I feel like it's not quite a meatball. I wouldn't say it's a meatball. Like, I could probably tell the taste, because it's the consistency. It's not quite meatball-y.
What is the consistency,
it's,
Nicholas?
It's more mushy. It's too mushy. Yeah, exactly. Ugh. Yeah. I'm not, can I just say, I'm not like defending the faggot focused sort of food lovers out there. Like, I'm not a massive fan of them. I'd rather have a meatball than a faggot, but anyone who doesn't know what a faggot anyone who doesn't know what a faggot is now at the minute is probably like, well, this is not the sort of episode I expected. But is that ever the case?
Yeah, this is the wrong podcast.
but yeah, I'm trying to think what other stuff. There's not a lot.
A butty.
Yeah, what do you call it?
Do you call it that? A roll.
Yeah, but no, hold on, because that when you said butty, I thought of chip, like a chip. I know, because I'm from Nottingham, we call it a cob. So it's a chip cob.
A what?
A cob, C-O-B.
Why?
Because it's just the way it is. Like, Midlands area, it's a cob. Although, I was at uni, and I lived with, well, I didn't live with, but I knew a lad who lived with a lad from Barnsley. And you can't say Barnsley without sounding like you're from Barnsley. Barnsley! And he called it a tea cake, which made no sense to me.
I've heard that.
Because a tea cake is a completely different thing.
It's not a cake.
At which point I asked him, what do you call the other thing? And he said, oh, that's a tea cake as well. And I was like, well, you're a fucking psychopath for calling two things the same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're just starting to talk about food.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when I'm like inhaling my dinner.
I had two servings of halloumi fries from the pub today. They were very nice.
Whereabouts? What pub?
There's just a pub up the road from me, the Redburn, and it's just really nice.
Oh, is that where you went to, yeah?
Yeah, and just sat doing the classic, trying to figure out the app to have people bring stuff over. And at the second order, I forgot the number of our table and sent it to the wrong table. So that was fun. But yeah, I've come back. I've had a couple of ciders. I'm now on my second Corona. This is going to be interesting.
It's going to be very interesting.
As always, there'll need to be a beer break, though. Why?
What do you mean, why?
Because you beer break?
To the fridge to get the beer to come.
Why didn't you just bring them all?
As soon as I'm finished this one. Because they're not all cold, Nicholas. Again, let me use the dad card and tell you, when you buy beers, they're not always cold. You have to put them in the freezer.
Yeah, but don't you, can't you just drink a slightly chilled beer?
No, it's got to be freezing cold.
It's got to be freezing cold, you fucking perfectionist. Mine are alright. Yeah, mine are okay. I've got three in front of me. I've had two ciders and I've already had one. So this is going to be hilarious. What?
Love the t-shirt.
Thank you. Folks, for those that don't know, this podcast this week is sponsored by Hobo Jack. You can find them at hobojack.com. Maybe if we say hobojack.com, they'll send us free t-shirts. But I got this because...
Thanks, Hobo Jack.
Because I signed up for their member thing and I didn't realise I had a shit ton of points. So I got this t-shirt for like £3. Might put a link in the description. Obviously, so you can see what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah, why not? We'll just take a screenshot and you're just like this, look. Like, yeah. A thumbs up.
Yeah.
With the headphones and the mic on.
I also...
It's great fun.
I also did some...
Obviously.
What? Why is it fun?
Not for the listeners. I can only see the hobo part. It's just basically Nick with a white t-shirt on and it just says hobo. So yeah, it's kind of fitting.
There you go. I think you'll find I look quite...
So see if you sit properly, right? If you sit properly, I'll take a photo for all the listeners. No, sit properly.
I was supposed to sit
the way you usually would. No, pull the camera back up again. No, you were slouching a minute ago. You looked like Alan Partridge. Anyway, I could just see the hobo part.
What is happening?
And it was pretty funny.
Oh, we're pissed and tired. This is going to be funny. Right, let's go on to the normal shit that we talk about.
I've got sunstroke as well.
I may pass out. We don't know.
I was going to say that. I may pass out. I don't know if it's from the meat sweats, the alcohol, or the sunstroke. But if you don't hear from me for at least 1 minute, probably phone Leslie Ann.
And we'll put that number in the description of this week's episode. Right, but on to film stuff. Film stuff, there's been a lot of it. It's all kicked off. Big things have happened this week. I'm hosting because Sean texts me to quote, and I say, I can't be asked to host this week, so grab onto your butt cheeks, folks, because because things are about to get wild. I am the ruler. But things, big things has happened. Biggest thing that's happened.
This podcast was your idea, so.
Oh, here we fucking go. Well, I'm throwing
I'm just a wild card.
I don't know what card I'm throwing.
I'm just a wild card. I'm the
big news that happened. Shut up. Big news that happened earlier this week. Shut up. Big news that happened earlier this week was. I'm trying to see if I can get Sean to choke on a sandwich by the end of this episode. Big news that happened this week for the third and final time. Amazon have bought MGM Studios for $8.45 billion, which is pocket change. Nothing. It's nothing to me. Found that down my sofa. They now own up to a library consisting of 4,000 movies and 17,000 TV shows, including... James Bond being the biggest sort of name on that list. Now the common sort of thought when it happened was, oh shit, does that mean No Time to Die is coming to Amazon Prime? Yeah, just not when you think it's going to be. Contracts are still in place, it's still yet to happen. We're going to have to see Bond at the cinema like every other normal human, because we've waited 16 years to see Daniel Craig's last film, and then sometime after it, it will eventually turn up on Amazon Prime. Sean's got his finger up, which means he's got a question. Yes, Mr. Carney, how can I help?
Mr. Staniforth.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, as you said, it might be on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
So just for all the listeners out there, if it's on Amazon Prime first, would you watch it there and then go to the cinema to see it again? Or no!
No, no, because as I just said, deals are already in place for it to get to the cinema. And it won't be going to, it won't be doing the cinema to Prime transition. Like, contracts have yet to be.
Yeah, but just, it's a hypothetical.
Oh, you give me a hypothetical.
Nicholas.
Oh, I'd 100% go to the cinema.
Yeah.
What a stupid question.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, if it was on Amazon Prime tonight.
Yeah.
But yet, the cinemas are still closed in Glasgow and you can't go to the Everyman with me holding hands. So you have to wait. No, what I'm saying to you is because it's such a big film, and I know how much.
I need to stop you and give you a bit of an honest statement here, right? So the reason Glasgow's in lockdown is because I have made numerous pleas to Nicola Sturgeon that she fucking keeps it that way, just so I don't have to go to the fucking cinema with you.
Just so Nick texts me like when I try to organise a cinema date, and he's like, it's 2 hours away. I don't drive because I'm poor.
She's like, no, I slipped a message to Nicola Sturgeon, and I was like, look, you've listened to the podcast every week, listen to how fucking desperate he sounds to go to the cinema. And she's like, say no more, Nick, say no more. So that's I'm now watching Sean picking breadcrumbs out of his belly button, because he's he needs a fucking bib. I would go sit at the cinema.
Oh, look at it, big hard man. Nick Staniforth had 3 ciders and he's fucking, that's him. Woohoo!
Banter. I would see it at the cinema. Or Patter, yeah. Patter. I would see it at the cinema, and I would, if it was on Prime tomorrow, I would go to the cinema to see it. Just because I've waited too long, to see it at the cinema, if that makes sense. Yeah. And
what I was trying to say is, because I know how big a fan of Bond you are, and what I'm saying is, if it was there, and just say for talking sakes, it was on
the table,
it was on your Prime tonight, but the cinemas don't open until next week.
Right.
You would just, like, as much as it would kill you, I think it would be worth the wait. Do you know that way? Because you know what Bond's like. You know how fucking, like,
you know what he's like.
It is to go to cinema to see it, sort of. Yeah, but it's so true though.
Definitely.
I remember going to see Bond films with my dad. He was a massive Bond fan, and he was just loved that whole experience of just when everything was sort of normal. It was it was booked 2 weeks in advance, and then the night would come and you'd be like, right, let's go for dinner first, and then he would get a wee bite to eat, and then about an hour later we'd get to the cinema and stuff, and then he'd be like, oh, quite fancy nachos and stuff, just getting right into the mood of stuff, getting there and going to see the new Bond. It's, do you know what I mean? It's a sort of an experience in itself, and I just think that, especially obviously the studios and stuff, they were expecting, they are expecting Bond to be the fucking the big release as it is every sort of summer. Do you know what I mean? That didn't happen because of of COVID.
I think yeah, you're right. I think more than anything, Bond is, I think, like a lot of franchises, but this one in particular, you associate it with the cinema because, like, you know, that classic cliched statement of when, like, the lights go down and it's dark and you just see that white scope go across the screen, like, that's the quintessential, like, Bond moment, isn't it, that you're like, yes, like, now it started. Just like watching a Star Wars film and you just see massive Star Wars and then the the prologue sort of comes up. Like, you can't top that sitting at home and watching it. Like, it just isn't the same. Nah. It wouldn't be the same. I wouldn't expect it to be the same. Don't get me wrong. Like, obviously, fucking hell, you've watched however many Bond films umpteenth times at home, but it is that great, like, hair-raising moment of seeing probably Daniel Craig walk across the screen for the last time and the scope follow him and stuff.
And I think there's always the thing that kind of grabs me when you go to the cinema is, like, if you can always remember that time and date and stuff. Do you know, if it was like, for talking sakes, we went to see The Dark Knight, me and my dad and stuff. And
yeah,
it was just to see it at the cinema, had been waiting for so long, seeing Heath Ledger's Joker and stuff, and then at the end of the film, I was just like, watched it in the IMAX at the Science Centre, and I was just like, that is one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, and I'll never forget it. Like, I'll never forget standing in that queue and stuff, and it's just, like, seeing that film, it's just iconic and stuff. So I think when it's big moments like that, the cinema kind of, it adds something extra to it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, you could sit and watch that night. Just say for talking sake, it's like maybe you were like Craig and you've never seen any film in your life, do you know what I mean? And you were like, let's watch Dark Knight at home, then it's a different experience watching it in the house compared to watching it in the cinema.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be interested to see what Amazon do now, because the common sort of thing that was being discussed was there was a lot of properties that Amazon are basically planning to, just as much as, like, you know, in all seriousness, as much as Disney are doing with, like, Star Wars and the like, of absolutely rinsing the properties they've got hold of as a result of this deal. Like, they've got the entire Rocky franchise, and so, like, Creed, whenever Creed 3 comes out, probably chances are you're obviously going to see that on Prime closer to waiting it for it to home release. You've got stuff like the Pink Panther.
So would they, So see all this, like Disney buying, like, obviously Star Wars and that, we know how that's kind of waiting and stuff, but
yeah.
Amazon buying this and then say Netflix come in and buy something. Do you think it affects it in any way? Like, negatively, I mean?
Yeah, I think my frustration with it, mate, is that, like, I think we're losing... It's weird. We're not losing access to classics because they're obviously buying them for that reason, to buy properties, to buy IPs, is to sort of expand on it. For example, like MGM made Wizard of Oz. So imagine if Amazon put as much focus and as much money into a Wizard of Oz show of some sort, the same way they've done with Lord of the Rings, which currently is now the most expensive TV show ever made. Like, I think it's good for that reason, but the problem is that it might lead to certain classics getting, like, lost in the ether. And because physical media is becoming such a fucking hard thing, you know, it's like collecting vinyl. I think that's what's going to affect it. That's what's going to slow down people looking back to classics, people looking back to films like that. You know, they won't have anniversary edition of films coming out on Blu-ray or whatever. They'll just fucking go, look. You know, prime example, right? So, I don't know if you saw it this weekend.
example.
punny. but, like, I don't know if you saw it this week, but the teaser for Cobra Kai Season 4 came out. Which
looks
fucking great. Which was all of 22 seconds of a teaser, but you saw a ponytail and your fucking nose bled. But, like...
And I was like, ah!
But, like, it's the fact that when you go to Netflix now and you go to watch Cobra Kai, you can watch The Karate Kid prior to that, it has like, I think it's like the karate, what does it say? I can't remember what the specific thing is, but basically below Cobra Kai, there is a playlist, and in that playlist is The Karate Kid and Cobra Kai. So you can go through, you know, much like when WandaVision came out, you could watch Age of Ultron, Civil War, select ones that essentially yeah. made sense so that when you ended up watching WandaVision, you were up to date. I think...
It's almost like when you go on to like, when you go on to like Amazon and stuff, and it's like this item is related to this.
That's exactly what I was about to say. And I think that's good for that reason. But it's obviously that's only going to work for the things that they want to expand on. So when Creed 3 comes out, and they decide that, I don't know, they want to make a fucking Creed spin-off show, they're going to have Rocky 1 to 6 all lined up, plus Creed 1 and 2 and 3 yeah. plus whatever. But then it's like, right, well, MGM owns Sound of Music. Why is that not getting attention? Do you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying they're completely different films, but what I'm getting at is the classics might get missed. And I think it's a really, it's a bit of a shame because people,
I don't think so, but because I think, like, I mean, they're called classics for a reason, but do you know what I mean? Like, and I think...
No, I think, and I agree, but the thing is, dude, you know, I suppose that's... I think the thing with me, like, me and you know classics, and me and you will go back to them. My thing is that I don't know if the particular services that now own these properties will shine a spotlight on it enough that it gets,
yeah.
you know, like, you know, we go back to stuff when it's an anniversary or when something yeah. comes out that's linked to it. Like, you know, like Quiet Place, I'm going to see Quiet Place 2 tomorrow. I'll probably watch the first one tonight, but that's, what, 3-4 years old? That's nothing.
Yeah, no.
I sat and watched
Kate Fear the other night, yeah. She'd never seen it, and obviously you know very well that we're into like kind of creepy stalker, psychopath sort of thriller TV yeah, shows, yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, Kate Fear, great film, iconic, yeah. fucking great role by De Niro and stuff, like way it's shot and stuff like that as well, but just kind of revisiting stuff and I quite like that, the fact that obviously there's certain people who haven't seen certain things, and it's like I always get kind of jealous in a way, do you know what I mean? Ask that question to people, and it's always ask that question to like people, especially like clients in a chair, not to kind of not make it the same old.
You're in the holidays this year, you know. What time are you on till?
No, that shit, all the shit chat. So, and sometimes you say, like, listen, if there's a film there that you've seen, like, which is what you would call a classic in your own mind, and you could erase it for your memory and rewatch it, like, go to the cinema, first time you've ever seen it, what would it be? Do you know what I mean? And obviously, people come up with different ones, like, but just when I sit and I watch classics, is what we would call them, with people who have never seen them, I'm excited for them in a way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, oh, definitely.
Like,
yeah,
I'm almost like one of those. Do you know one of those people where you're like, you're kind of like the person sitting next to you, and you're just like staring at them for 3 seconds, like,
and they're like,
you know what, that's
fucking
coming.
Watching it.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, I know, but it's great. But I know what you're saying about it. That some things might get missed under the radar, and that hopefully it doesn't. But it's obviously going to make kind of Amazon expand more, and they're obviously trying to take on Netflix big time. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, it's not even Netflix. I think we've come to with the past. Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say actually, like in the recent sort of maybe, probably say, in the last year. Just say in the last year.
Yeah.
I've actually became a bigger fan of Prime than I have of Netflix.
Interesting, right?
Like, just their streaming service and like, and the stuff that they have to offer. Like, I just feel as if there's more on Amazon that I've maybe not seen, or kind of stuff that's slipped under the radar. And do you know what I mean? There's more. I think personally, Amazon originals are better than Netflix originals. I don't know how you feel about that, but I just think, like, I mean, Sound of Music and stuff like that, and it's Sound of Metal. Sound of
Just Riz Ahmed on a hill.
that's, That's Nick's fault. I know. Just Riz Ahmed with all the deaf children on a hill.
No, you're right. I do.
I just find in the last year, I think there's like, I mean, for talking sakes, I was sitting watching like, I think I watched a basketball film. It might have been like Coach Carter or something like that, right? With Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
I thought it was one of those ones. I just put it on and I've seen it before and it was a good wee film. But then obviously, again, it's like the way Amazon suggests things on Prime, it's like, this is, you might like this. And then underneath it was like all these sort of like documentaries to do with basketball and stuff. And I played one and it was all about like LeBron James when he was growing up in high school and this whole. And they followed him right through his high school career, right through college to the NBA. And I thought, how the fuck have I never seen this? Was it 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And I watched it and I was just like, that was a great documentary. Well done.
And you wouldn't have seen it had you not.
You don't.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I just think there's more. I just think sometimes Amazon's got more to offer. I think like Netflix has got the big block. Netflix has got the big blockbusters and stuff, and it's the kind of the age of TV shows kind of taking over, especially like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and It's Always Sunny, and that they're all like exclusively on Amazon on Netflix. But I think with Amazon, there's a lot more kind of like independent stuff.
Right.
That I think that me and you personally would be like, we would tend to watch more of that compared to like the big blockbusters and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like,
my only issue with Amazon Prime is, for one, the fucking user interface is dog shit in comparison to Netflix. It's so bad to use. Like, it's really, really frustrating to use, and they've had no end of fucking like slander for it. I agree with what you're saying. I actually think for the past year, when you really step back and look at what you've watched, you'd probably realise that. So, like, what are the biggest shows you've watched? Right, The Boy. Well, for me, right, The Boys, The Wilds,
The Boys,
Invincible, right? So that's Amazon.
Yeah.
Jack Ryan, like, Without Remorse, etc. Yeah.
Jack Ryan.
And then it's like, right, what else have you watched that's massive? WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Mandalorian.
That's what I've been watching on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I'm talking about is like the biggest shows you've been watching are actually not on Netflix, surprisingly.
Yeah, true.
Like there's been a massive gap. There seems to have been this massive sort of chasm where Netflix were sort of at the start, and I think it is literally down to lockdown, where at the start of lockdown, they were like, right, we've got a shit ton of stuff queued up. This will sort us for fucking God knows how long. We'll bring out a film every week. We've got one scheduled, or etc. Yeah. Probably might have even moved around shit that we didn't even know about in advance. I think Netflix is now reaching, because they were sort of ahead of the curve with what was happening. Now that it's coming to an end, there seems to be like a chasm of stuff that we don't have. We don't have a lot of Netflix stuff, whereas with every other competitor, there's quite a lot lined up. So I don't know, mate. I think we're fucking.
I think especially with Sorry, on you to continue, mate. Sorry for.
No, I was just saying. I think we're just really fucking lucky to be to have as much accessible to us as we do. But I just think Netflix was at the top. They're just slowly etching down. Yeah. They're not miles behind, but they are just not as good as they could be.
I just think I think obviously like Netflix sort of transcended the whole sort of like originals and like leading the way in TV shows, and I think they probably sat on stuff and they were just like, we'll be fine. Do you know what I mean? Not expecting any competition.
Oh, yeah.
And then Amazon, HBO were just like, is that right? Fucking hold my beer. Watch this. And they're just like, throwing stuff out. Like, mate, see, honestly, like, I know I keep preaching it and I should get a tattoo at some point, but like the stuff that HBO puts out is just fucking, it's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, like, the one we're watching at the moment is just like the best thing on television at the moment, but
it is.
I just think maybe sometimes.
And then, mate, what are we going to do next week?
Oh, mate. I don't know. I might get in glass someday and throw them in a river and start my own, like the mayor of.
See if Kate Winslet turns up.
Yeah. Hi. Hello. It's Sean Carney here. I'm just wondering if Kate Winslet's available. There's been a murder.
But yeah, I think it's a very interesting time. It has been for the past year and a half or so, and I think We've got stuff coming up, like we've got The Grey Man with Ryan Gosling, Chris Evans coming up soon, like spy thrillers. We've got, you know, Netflix have made the deal also with Sony where a lot of their shit's going to go over to Sony. So when Spider-Man films come out, they will go to Sony rather than, obviously, Disney Plus can't touch it. You're going to have stuff like Venom. You're going to have stuff like Morbius. You're going to have stuff like we're talking about very soon, which is, in fact, we'll go straight into it, is the fact that the news got out this week that former MCU alumni Aaron Taylor-Johnson has put, like, hung up his Quicksilver shoes permanently and will be taking the hunt as Kraven, which is, like, for those that don't know, he's, like, a long-time villain for Spider-Man. And as we all know, with the likes of Venom and Morbius and Vulture and like, there's slowly building up, bafflingly, a Spider-Man universe without Spider-Man, because that seems such a sensible idea.
Yeah.
And yeah, Aaron Taylor-Johnson is going to play Kraven the Hunter. It was really mad. Like, I was reading up about this, and I think I showed you, mate, that like the casting calls they made, like they'd gone to Brad Pitt for it, Keanu Reeves, somebody else, I can't remember who, but it was only after Sony saw footage of Aaron Taylor-Johnson in Bullet Train, which is a new upcoming action film with Brad Pitt in. Actually, coincidentally, it's about a load of assassins on a train, like, well-known bullet train from Japan. And they were like, that's the guy, like, that's Kraven the Hunter, we'll have him. And he's quite a fucking scary character in the comics. Like, this is a guy that at one point, like, is tired of hunting all sorts of prey and decides that Spider-Man's like the most elusive thing on earth and he's gonna hunt him. And he doesn't use sniper rifles or any of that shit. He's like bare bones snare traps and all, you know. It's almost like the final fucking like 20 minutes of Predator. Like, that's, imagine that, but instead of a Predator and Arnie, it's Kraven and Spider-Man. However, we don't know,
and Kraven's doing the hunting.
Yeah, exactly. What we don't know though is if Spider-Man will actually turn up in it. There's been discussions recently with the rumours circulating as well on the other side of the superhero fences, the likes of, you know, we know that Jamie Foxx, Alfred Molina, and who else have we got on the list? I'm not sure. They're confirmed as turning up in Spider-Man, the next Spider-Man film, as Electro and Dr. Octopus. But now rumours are getting out that Willem Dafoe's going to be back as Green Goblin. Yeah, and it's like, they're building that up, and then it's at the same time Sony are like, but we've got something as well, and it's like, yeah, but yours is shit. it's like when you know for Christmas your mum's got your like knockoff, like that fucking Special Man figure that you showed me the other week, like it's like a knockoff version what you really want. It's like, you know, a fun Station 17. It's like, no, I just want a PlayStation. Why have you got me this? But we'll see what happens. I think it's interesting casting. What's your thoughts? Because you fucking love him, don't you?
Yeah, I would say he's an underrated actor. Do you know what I mean? I think he kind of chooses what he does.
Like Stephen Graham.
I know. Do you like that there? Yeah. I think he doesn't do a lot, but next year's one of the laughing fit. It's a sort of personal joke there. Is what we said.
No, it's
don't cut that out. That's fun. Craig will laugh as well.
Come on.
I think he's one of those actors that he chooses. Oh, next one on. I mean, he chooses what he does. That he doesn't. I don't know. I think he's sort of one of those actors that he's quite selective in what he does, and I like him. I think he is a good actor. Like, he's quite versatile and stuff. The last thing that we obviously seen him in was Tenet, and he was playing a more sort of serious role. Do you know what I mean? Kind of gritty, sort of CIA operative. Is that?
He was a commando, like, man. Sort of Navy, yeah, exactly.
Seal. Well, that's what I mean. I like a Navy SEAL, so. And it was good to see him in that. Do you know what I mean? You're obviously going from like Kick-Ass to obviously like sort of Quicksilver and all that as well. It's versatile, and I like what he does. And I think he's a good actor. He's like, I'm looking forward to seeing this. Do you know what I mean? I don't know much about. I'm not like obviously about Kraven the Hunter. I've obviously heard of him, but I don't know too much about it. So yeah. I'm just excited, man. I think he'll fit well in it. I think he is. as I said, I think he is a good actor, so yeah,
I look forward to it, man.
Very intrigued. Yeah, I mean, like you're saying about Tenet, I think the interesting thing with that was, like, the fact that he turned up, and for 10 minutes I was like, holy fuck, is that Aaron Taylor Johnson? Like, he was just unrecognisable as this absolute fucking brick shithouse of a man.
I actually remember you saying that to me, and I was like, how could you not? Like, I was like, I can understand why you couldn't really like the beard and all that, but I was like, I knew him right away, do you know what I mean? I just, like, you can tell, but it's a good one. But listen, 2 seconds, I need to go for a beer.
He's getting a beer. Folks, for this reason, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors, of which we don't have any. But if you want to sponsor us, you can do.
If you would like to be one.
there'll be a PO box address stated at the end of this podcast episode. Don't have one of them either, just made it up. But yeah, so ultimately, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Craven the Hunter, joining the ranks of Jared Leto's Morbius and Tom Hardy back in Venom, Let There Be Carnage. I don't know if this is going to be good. I don't know what the future holds. I think it's really interesting that Sony swear blind that they expect Tom Holland to turn up somewhere in the spunk. That's not a joke. That is a literal acronym for, from my remember, Sony Pictures Cinematic Universe movie chain. That's not what it is. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to find out what it is. Hold on. Spunk. It's a thing. I'm talking to myself now. This is the inside of Nick's head. This is what it sounds like.
I have 2 beers. I have 2 beers. I have 2 beers. Hey.
In fact, Sean's back. He's got 2 beers, as he's rightfully said. Mate, did you know about what Sony call their little world that they're building? Did you see this when I put the post up?
No.
So now you've got the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is obviously the MCU. Sony's equivalent. And this is quintessential. This backs up my example earlier of shit Christmas presents, right? So this is the Sony Pictures universe of Marvel characters, right? With the likes of Morbius and Venom, right? The Sony Pictures universe of Marvel characters. What does that spell? Spunk.
Sharp.
Sony Pictures universe of Marvel characters, a.k.a. Spunk.
Spunk.
Can you imagine writing that on the whiteboard at the fucking board meeting and being like, Jim, I don't think you thought this through.
That's not an American thing, is it, though? That's a British thing.
Anyway, Spunk.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
Spunk. Sorry, Spunk.
But yeah, ultimately, one of the worst fucking names you could have given something for a thing. It was also interesting to see that it was the anniversary recently of the Dark Universe, that Universal horror movie universe we never got to see because Tom Cruise made a mummy film that no one went to see. And that went tits up. But yeah.
What we could have had.
But instead we got Invisible Man. And even though he doesn't like Elizabeth Moss, Sean must admit, Invisible Man is a banger of a film.
Oh, it's tasty.
It is tasty. Right.
Why can't I see your face, Nicholas?
You can't see my face?
No, it's only the audio.
There you go.
Oh, there you go. That'll help. Oh, Hobo. The Hobo's back. Hobo Jack's back.
Sean just went to, like, stroke the screen, which is a bit perverse and intense. But anyway, we've talked about news all as much as we have because we're pretty drunk. I'm not drunk. Sean's not drunk. Sean's had 2 beers.
Yeah, well, I've had... Well, that's not really true.
How many beers have you had, Sean?
A few.
you're really quiet as well. Now you're not.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Oh, shit, ooh. Now you're loud. Jesus, sweet Jesus. But, God, this is so...
Loud noises.
We're just cowboys. Yeah. Skipping the news, we're going on to... We're going on to the reviews. And the big thing to talk about this week that we've both seen and we've both disagreed on, as we always do, is the brand new Disney spin-off. What?
No, you need to start with Army of the Dead first.
Oh, God, do we fucking have to? Oh. Right.
Yes, we have to.
2 weeks have passed. 2 weeks have passed, and that's just the fucking film. Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead arrived on Netflix for all the world to see after his Snyder cut of Justice League, which lasted almost a year. Sean's actually seen the first birthday of his kid after Superman twatted Steppenwolf. But But yeah, but now Army of the Dead arrived on Netflix and everyone was like, this is the second coming. This is Zack Snyder getting his groove back because he made Dawn of the Dead, which is one of the best horror remakes of all time. Hopefully he'll do the same for Army of the Dead. Yes. Sean, did he do the same for Army of the Dead?
Did he fuck?
Right. Let's start off. Let's start off on a positive note.
Oh, let's start off positive and then shit all over it.
So what did you like about Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead? So let's give it
5 minutes of positivity and then 45 minutes of absolute shit. What did I like about it?
It ended.
Yeah, when it finished, what did I like about it? What did I like about it?
The bit with the, that much.
I know, the bit with the zombie lion tiger thing,
It wasn't a liger, it was just a fucking tiger.
Well, whatever, it was white and massive and it was like dead and I saw, yeah, that bit, that was it.
You responded like a kid then on the news. What did you like? I like
the bit with the man when he got beaten by the
tiger. I like that bit.
The end.
Yeah,
because then after that I went and watched The Revenant, which is an absolute banger. So yeah, it was great. But no, there was obviously certain things to it. I like to start off at the sort of with the music and the credits and stuff. Like, I thought it was pretty cool the way it was done, but as soon as the pre credits were done, I was just like, "This is fucking terrible." It just dragged and
terrible
and dragged on. There was no need for that it to be this long. I don't even know, man. I just think like Zack Snyder obviously started off like with all these bangers like fucking 300 and all that and Dawn of the Dead, and just slowly but surely starting to kind of ruin his fucking reputation, to be honest with you.
Well, this is the thing, mate. I don't think he has, because you've got the devout fans that are like, so let me put it this way, right? Loads of striking things that stuck out for me. For one, Dave Bautista's really good in it. Dave Bautista in a lead role. I thought for what he needed to do, he did the job, right? That was just me. With that said, there is 4 minutes time difference between this and Batman v Superman, which is fucking egregious. Like, terrible, crazy. Right? And whilst you're saying...
Do you know the funny thing about Dave Bautista is like, he made the comment that he won't get down the lines of what John Cena and the Dwayne The Rock Johnson of just kind of taking on any film, and he would look at things seriously, and I'm like, my God, big chap, did you pick an absolute fucking sinker that John Cena and the Dwayne The Rock Johnson are just sitting back and laughing and going, hi, well done, Baldy. Good shot. Do you know what I mean?
You walnut head.
But Dave Bautista obviously thought what we thought. Like, I mean, I was like so excited for this film. Like, I was buzzing for it. Like, we'd spoken about it previously, and I was like, big Dave Bautista at the helm of it and stuff. And I thought, great, Zack Snyder. There was a good cast, like people that I'd obviously seen before, like Amari Hardwick and Theo Rossi and stuff. And I thought, great. A bit of Haruyuki Sanada as well. I thought, good. I'm liking the cast. It sounds solid. I like the whole idea and the concept of it. Oh my God, was I wrong? Like, I just, from start to finish, it was just boring. I picked up my phone so many times during that, and for me that is a sign. That's a sign that it's a bad film. I don't think it's just us as well, Nick, because I've heard various people saying, oh my God, what an absolute shit show. What you'll say is there's a lot of Zack Snyder fans out there who are going, oh, this is great.
Yeah. So one thing I had like a bit of a light bulb moment watching it, right? So I think there are certain elements that he puts in this that he tried to use to make this film original, and it just doesn't pan out. I think the whole idea of an advanced sort of zombie just ruins the whole concept. I think it's trying to make humanize this sort of monster. It just didn't. If it's not like, you know, if it's not testing the idea of, oh, are they smarter than we think they are? Instead, it's like, as soon as they got in there, they're like, no, this is a tribal thing. You need to sacrifice someone. You need to hand someone over. You need to do this. You need to do that. I was like, why? I don't give a fuck. Like, why?
Bullshit.
But on top of that, exactly what we're saying about how, you know, he's not, I don't think he's ruined his reputation. I think if anything, like we've just said, like you said, the devout fans of Zack Snyder will continue to sort of bow at his altar. And more credit to him. If they like the film, that's fine. What I've come to realise about Zack Snyder is that he is a hybrid of a director that has the capability of Michael Bay, but is revered like Christopher Nolan. Like, it's true though. He's got this. I'm gonna fire a rocket up the arse of a film, and put 20 minutes too much on it that you don't need, and it doesn't matter because the people that swear blind that I am the second coming will probably queue up and watch it. And I just think there are so many elements to it that are just like the fact that there are now theories on Twitter of like, oh, is it come from space? Are some of the zombies robots? Is like, there's a bit with Amari's character in the safe where he looks at all the corpses that are lined up going, are we just a part of a time loop that's going over and over and over again? Because you see one of the skeletons has the necklace on that Dave Bautista's random love interest that suddenly becomes a love interest when they get all the gear, and then, spoilers, kicks it. Like, it just throws everything in, and you're just like, no one told you going, mate, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what is this? It's weird because I watched Dawn of the Dead like the night before, and that film still holds up, man. It's still great. The cast is still brilliant. It's still fucking scary. There's still that opening in comparison to Army of the Dead is just fucking leagues ahead of this one. For one, the Army of the Dead intro echoes Zombieland. Slow motion, gory, gratuitous shots of stuff that are just a bit quiet, kind of wild, whilst a kooky choice of a song plays in the background. Dawn of the Dead, his version of it, that opening is just like relentless, and it's chilling and pitch perfect. That shot of her coming out of a garden and she sees a fucking ambulance mow a guy down. You're just like, what is going on? You know what's going on. You just don't, obviously. It's just, you're caught up in the terror of it. Whereas this, I didn't feel scared. I didn't feel bothered about any of the cast. I knew characters were going to do exactly what I didn't want them to do. Dave Bautista's daughter in this fucking film. Oh my God. I'm really sorry. Just why? Ass. Why even have it? If anything, would it not be smart? So she decides that she has to go with her dad across the border to save two people that she gives a shit about. Barely knows. Why didn't she go over there originally, right? What a better pitch would it have been if Dave Bautista sits down in his restaurant with like the billionaire, and he's like, look, I need to go over, you're the best of the best to do it. And he's like, I'm not doing it. Right, okay. What if I tell you your daughter went over 2 days like prior? Son of a bitch, I'm in. Like, that's the crux, and that's the drive, and that's the turn Dave Bautista's character into a John McClane sort of hero.
Yeah, and he's almost given like his friends a kind of ultimatum of like, help me out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, my daughter's over there, that sort of kind of. We've seen it all before, but it works.
Yeah.
So if it's not broke, like, there's no need to fix it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think it's a massively wasted.
It's just it was very messy.
Yeah. It's just like exactly what you've said.
And
like,
the thing, obviously, I didn't like about it. Sorry.
No, go on,
mate. I was just going to say the thing I thought was like, I don't know, man. Just again with the fucking CGI. Do you know what I mean? Like, with Tig Notaro replacing Chris D'Elia in the film, and I'm just like, it looks so look cheap.
Why?
Do you know what I mean? Like, I just think it wasn't well done.
But it's like certain elements as well. Like,
there's that one bit, but as soon as they get into the Vegas compound, and like, she's there with a gun, and she's like looking around and talking, and you can clearly tell it looks as if somebody's just went cut and paste and plotted it in. It's so badly done. And then the rest of it that we were talking about is like that sort of like dreamlike out of focus sort of the way they've shot the film, because again, she's never acted with anybody. I think she acted with one of the cast members.
Yeah, so there's one of the cast members she acted with, but it's also worth noting that Zack Snyder was also director of photography, which is a very rare thing for someone, a director, to do, to sort of sign up to be like, I'm going to call the shots. I'm also going to be behind the camera constantly, like as much as possible. And like, there are certain shots in it where you're just like, this is unnecessary. Why is it out of focus? Why do you need to be out of focus? Like, you're actually removing the fear factor from this element, because I'm so confused as to why you've shot this the way you've shot it. It's boring as fuck to look at. It's so bland. It's so brown. It's just constantly fucking brown and misty and looks like a zombie invasion in Black Hawk Down. It's just like, but even Black Hawk Down looks fucking better than this. It's just, what annoys me is that
it's like somebody's put the portrait.
Is this what?
So somebody's put the portrait mode on the iPhone.
Yeah, yeah.
The portrait mode on the iPhone throughout the whole film. It's just everything's blurry in the background. It's just.
And it's just. I think. I don't get. And I'm a bit worried that Netflix have invested so much into. You know, we literally talked about how streaming services. Who's in the running in the race for this? Taking the top spot. It's decisions like this why Netflix are selling shit, essentially. Like, they hype stuff up so much, and then you watch it and you're just like, oh, fucking hell, man, this was very disappointing. You've really let me down in what I hoped would be a great fucking film. And not only that, doesn't matter, you know, okay, you didn't like the feature film, but what about the fucking prequel we've got planned and the anime series and all this shit? And it's like, all right, for the fans, crack on. Like, I just feel that it's a clear indicator, and has been since Batman v Superman, that like Zack Snyder needs a solid script, like a better he needs better scripts handed to him, because he makes 2 hour long trailers exactly like Michael Bay, where every shot but certain shots look beautiful to look at, and it's like, you've clearly put this as the money shot for the trailer, but everything built around this is shit. That's the frustration with me. And yet, I'm not saying he's a bad director. Yeah. Like, I think Watchmen's a fucking masterpiece. And like, I think 300 for what it was, 300, is great.
Dawn of the Dead.
Do you know what I mean? Like, those are the Man of Steel. Man of Steel was a good fucking film. But he's just lost it. And like, it's really frustrating to see. So, yeah, I mean, it was a hard fucking watch. And like, for 2 hours, like 2 hours and something like 20 minutes, I just think that's so unnecessary. Like, so unnecessary.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, you know, when you talked earlier about if Bond came out tomorrow, would you go and see it at the cinema or at home? If that had ended up in cinemas, which I know in America it has done, it's ended up in select theatres, I would be so annoyed if I'd gone to the cinema to watch that. Because you have 100%. That choice.
See, for this,
you have that choice to turn it off.
That was definitely. I felt like this film, the way I went when I went to see Birds of Prey. I know you were a fan of Birds of Prey, but I went to see it in the cinema and I was so disappointed. I was just like, fuck me, man. I just felt as if it was really bad. But and I felt the same with this as well. But that is what it is, man. I mean, we'll wait and see what the numbers are.
It's dominating, mate. It's dominating. Like, no, it's doing really well. It's doing really, really well, yeah. It's doing really, really well. Fucking it's like number hell. One in a number of bunch of countries at the minute on Netflix and all this shit. And But then what's interesting about those stats is like, okay, it's number one, but at what point did any of those people that got it to that point turn it off halfway through? You know, where are those stats at like the half an hour and a half mark of like people pausing or, you know, getting off or... I don't know, but yeah. But we'll move on to something that, whilst we've both heavily agree was an absolute bum egg, I think one film is The Dog's Bollocks, and Sean thought, by the sounds of things, that it was dog shit, which is Cruella, which finally arrived in cinemas. I saw it in a cinema. Sean watched it at home from the comfort of his own home. I fucking loved it. Sean, why did you not like it?
It's too long.
Right.
It was a bit like Snyder's. It was just too long. I think obviously there were certain parts of it, like, I mean, you can't help but praise Emma Stone's performance in it. She's
Emma Thompson, job,
do you know what I mean? And then Emma Thompson solid in it as well, but I just think, mate, I was just like, the plot was dead fucking flat. Like, do you know what I mean? You've seen everything coming. Like, especially at the start of it, like, was not well done at all. Like, with the young kids and stuff, and I thought, I got to one point, Nick, where I went, am I watching the right film? Like, I wasn't sure if it was the right film that I'd press play on.
Right.
I thought, is this some fucking sort of, like, Cruella, like, prequel, and then I've pressed on it by accident. But, yeah, wasn't a fan of it. I was a big fan of Craig Gillespie's Tonya, when they did that, and I thought it was a really good film, and you can see that there's certain ways that he shot it is kind of like resembles I, Tonya. But I just thought it was just sort of a bit flat for me. I wasn't great. There wasn't like any twists and stuff like that. And I see everything was kind of pretty bland, and yeah, I didn't rate it at all.
I fucking loved it. I didn't see twists come in. I thought the story was actually.
It was too long.
No, right. So here's the, and this is, you know, we can finally have this conversation of, one of us has seen the film at home, one of us has seen it at the cinema. I was like, for the whole sort of prologue to the film of, for those that don't know, so they're like, this film is all about Cruella and her road onto the villain that we know she'll become. So she's born Ella, I don't know her surname, which is a crucial point to the story, but we'll skip by that.
Estrella.
No, she's not a pint. but like,
yeah, well, she'd have been better off being a fucking pint. I'd have probably enjoyed it more.
But like, so yeah, she's sort of almost like a Tracy Beaker sort of child, of bit of a like tearaway, goes against the crowd because the crowd look at her and she gets bullied for the sort of known iconic black and white hair that she's got. And through sort of tragic circumstances, she ends up on her own growing up with these two young sort of thieves that are Jasper and I want to say Norris. I feel like it's Norris, I'm not sure. But Boris, Jasper and Boris. I was really surprised, mate. I think the reason probably I didn't worry about the runtime.
I was looking forward to it as well.
Well, I messaged Sean and was like, I really fucking loved it because I think the reason I did was because I was sat in a cinema, not distracted by anything, wasn't watching, you know, knew I was just invested. It might have been because it was my first trip back to the cinema, but I thought Emma Stone
Rose,
was...
Yeah, I was going to say...
Yeah, Rose in Disguises. But no, I think Emma Stone's brilliant in it. I think Emma Thompson, they are just constantly chewing the scenery between each other. It's a massive meal and they're sharing it between each other. I love the idea that it's a fucking heist film. I would never have expected this to be a heist film ever. And it's got elements of like Joker, Devil Wears Prada, fucking like Death Becomes Her, like just loads of different things in it where I was like, how the fuck is this...
You've literally
said in this podcast that like if it isn't broke don't fix it. You've the stories that have come before, they've done it, so why try? Like, I like the fact that they've managed to stitch together loads of different elements. I think the whole like idea and concept that she essentially moonlights as Cruella as this new fashion designer that's in London, and like, mate, they're fucking backing up the dustbin like lorry and dumping out all of Emma Thompson's old dresses. And I was just like, what a like interesting idea to do, like as like trying to top each other. I just thought it was really, I just didn't expect it to be what it was. I think
my biggest
gripe.
They should have just left it in the van and dumped it. They should have left it in the van and dumped it elsewhere.
But like, I think my biggest gripe with it is there is a twist near the end. And whilst I don't disagree with it, and I don't think it's a terrible idea, I think it's so shoehorned in. And I think it would have been better had they stretched it out and fed it through the film to lead up to the twist that comes, that you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that does make sense now because of all this. But I don't know, there's just certain elements of it. But I fucking loved it. And I think it is does come down to the fact that I saw it in the cinema and the fact that I wasn't distracted and, like, you know, you've gone to the cinema to watch the film. I'll be interested to see now that some cinemas are open up, because we drove through to Edinburgh to see it. I'll be interested to see for the films that do now, over here at least, do come out on, like, streaming services or and cinemas as well, where that line is, and if you enjoy, if one of how, if the viewing experience affects your taste and sort of enjoyment of the film. Because probably, you know, I'm not gonna lie, mate, probably if I'd have sat at home and watched it at home, I would have been like, meh, this is all right. But I think I was just, I think it genuinely is because, you know, there's been films in the past that I've watched at home, well, no, watched in cinemas, not really enjoyed, and then watched at home and go, fuck me, I really like that. Like Guardians of the Galaxy, I remember, did not sit right with me on the first viewing at cinemas at all. Did not like it at all.
How very dare you?
I know, and yet now, that those two films are my, like, top-level MCU films out of the lot. Like, I love them. So
here's a wee, like, side kind of question then.
Go for it.
So if it didn't have, like, Emma Stone and Emma Thompson, those two performances, which I do think held the film together, Right. Then if it was two other people, like two unknowns or whatever,
yeah,
do you think it would have worked as well?
Well, I don't know, because I don't think that's just a solid question, mate.
Because the things that you stated that you liked about the film are, like, the way it was, like, that kind of it unfolded and stuff like that, do you know what I mean? Like the way it was, like, the Joker, Devil's Wears Prada, you're saying it kind of mashes things together, do you know what I mean? You were kept your interest was kept going.
Yeah. So what?
So I'm just wondering if there wasn't like those two big actresses at the helm of it, would it have worked?
I think
that's the only thing that kind of held it together.
I don't know. This is what I mean. We're in two different mindsets, mate. Like I loved all the various elements of it, and for that reason, I think for one, I don't think you could make a film like this and have a character like that played by an unknown. I don't think it would work. I think you would need, and I think like essentially what Emma Thompson is doing is replicating Glenn Close's performances in the live action 101 Dalmatians that came out fucking 15, 20 years ago, which was like the first live action adaptation that Disney made or tried a hand at that got a lot of attention. I think for those sort of roles you need a scenery chewing actress, and I, like, there are so many moments Emma Thompson does, like the fucking when she kicks off at the fashion show near the end. Mate, even the fucking hairdos was Thomas Crown Affair. Sorry, that just popped in my head as well. But like the fashion show at the end where Emma Thompson, like, I think she throws a chair across the room and hits one of the maids, and she sort of looks at it and she's like, you were in the way. And it was like, Emma Thompson is clearly fucking absolutely loving this role. And I think you need at least an iconic person to deal with that sort of character. I think I'm surprised at Emma Stone being a choice, and two, Emma Stone delivering that sort of character. I would never have expected it from her, because ultimately it is like a Harley, you know, the common thing was it was a lot like Harley Quinn, and, you know, Margot Robbie has fucking made that role her own, and I think clearly that Disney are planning sequels for this.
But I think Emma Stone's such a solid actress though, that regardless of what she does, it's going to be good, because I think she puts her all into it, do you know what I mean? So I think any character that she kind of puts her heart and soul into, that it will come across, do you know what I mean, is like believable, shall we say, do you know what I mean? I think she's a very, very talented actress. I love everything that she's in, more or less, do you know what I mean?
And I agree with that. But
it'll be interesting.
I think the thing with Emma Stone, though, that what and it's what surprised me with this, is that when you look back at Emma Stone's previous films, she's always... I would say, like, The Girl Next Door, like, The Girl with the Heart of Gold, like, La La Land, Crazy Stupid Love, Superbad, just those sort of characters where it's like butter wouldn't melt. So to see her take on this, where it's a woman, a girl slash woman, like, growing up to be a woman that is trying hard to not tap into, like, her darker side and becomes a fucking, like, just crafty, clever fucker, I just really enjoyed it, man. I just thought it was really good. But, you know...
I just think of it, the sort of, you've seen her kind of sort of transcendent, sort of different roles, but do you know what I mean? Like, started to become, like, try to come away from the whole super bad, crazy, stupid love. Like, she was obviously in, like, The Help in Zombieland and that, so she was trying to kind of have a different take on the roles that she was going for. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think
so that's obviously kind of getting her towards.
Yeah, I think it's a massive. I think Cruella's her biggest detour, because if you look at Zombieland, I think she's Zombieland is essentially just the same character as her character in Superbad. She's just got a shotgun. She's got a bit of edge to her. She's like sweet and nice, but she's also a bit of a dick. I don't know, man. I just really enjoyed it, and I think for the trend of fucking remakes and live action takes that Disney have done, I think this, whilst you said you disagree massively, I think it's one of Disney's best in fucking years. I think it's as good as Jungle Book. I think Lion King's a fucking travesty of a fucking remake that didn't need to be done. I think Maleficent is boring as fuck, and I think Cruella's just the one that stands out, because I didn't expect this sort of story. I didn't expect this sort of like territory for this character going. I didn't see it coming, and I'm quite surprised by it, but you know, it's like fashion. People like it, some people don't.
It's like Marmite.
Oh, Marmite, yes, Sean, that's another one.
Everybody hates it.
Sean was just hid behind his microphone. Like Sean was just hid behind his microphone, then looked like a perv. Like,
it's like Marmite.
But yeah, please let us know what you thought about it. We thought it were right good. It's also worth adding that good mate Jordan commented on Army of the Dead, and he agreed with us and said it's too fucking long. Let me get it right. What did he say?
Yeah.
And I didn't say that. George.art on Instagram said, some cool bits in it, to be fair, but felt very episode-y. A cheap series. Some of the acting is ridiculous. Man with a crying emoji. Laugh, laugh, laugh. Yeah. And we've got to go with that. That's a solid point. But yeah, Cruella, let us know what you think. If it's right good or utter dog shit, as Sean Carney cleverly states. But yeah, I think this is the point where we raise a glass, mate, because we're coming to the end of the podcast. You've not got a bottle, have you? You fucking arsehole. Have you got a bottle? Mm. Oh, he's got a bottle.
Clink, clink.
Hold on.
Clink.
Hold on.
We are.
Yeah. Up, what? No. Yeah, I'm just tapping the mic. Oh, no. But yeah. Oh, my God, that dragged on forever. Sean, how long are you going to be away? Because you move into the new Carney Castle.
No need.
Right.
3 years.
Well, so we hope you tune in for the next episode.
In 3 years' time.
But yeah, how long are you going to be? What were you saying?
No, I'm away for a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks, we'll be back.
What? 4 weeks or 2 episodes.
All right, so we'll be gone for a bit, but we hope you'll miss us in your hearts. Yeah,
not bad.
And we'll be back with absolute bangers as always. But for now,
I'll see you before then, but Nick, because
why?
I'll be inviting you down to my new pad for a nice beer.
Oh yeah. Take me a fucking week to get there. But yeah, definitely.
You should drive your cretin, it's 2021.
Why does the year make any difference? But anyway,
because like we're sure.
If you like what you're hearing, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify and the big streaming services for real good stuff. Follow us on Instagram
at
This Is Real Good UK, where we'll be still going for the 2 weeks we're away. Also, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nick Stanley Forth, and you can find this fine gentleman for haircuts and small babies on Instagram at
Beard Carnage,
where hopefully, mate, can you imagine that in the next episode we may be able to discuss further details as to what you called me up about t'other day, if you recall. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There are sneaky goings on near the Safe Hands Barbershop, and it's we might be slow, but we'll be back in a flash with the next episode. That's just a total theory. But Sean, I love you. I'll see you in 4 weeks. 2 weeks. 4 weeks. 4 weeks. Farewell, everyone. Bye bye.
I wonder if you'll come in for a haircut before then.
Definitely. Bye bye.
Bye.